The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Blessings that we need to say hallelujah. And then you can get to the, when you say for this, come on somebody, I give you praise. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we come to you, O Lord, right now in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, from the rising of the sun into the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. We recognize that we are not here because we've been so good, but because you have been that good. We're not here because we've dotted every I, nor dotted across every T, but Father God, we recognize that you not only look beyond our faults, you look right at them. And you woke us up this morning with a finger of your love. And Lord, as we've gathered here together in this, your house and your church, and we are your people, it is our heart's desire to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. So it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been done has been pleasing in your sight. That we have set an atmosphere for you to set up and dwell. Now, Father God, we've come to the point to where we need to hear a word from you. If we ever needed to hear a word from you, surely we need a word from you right now. And the reason being is because, dear God, we need a fresh manna to fall. Yesterday is gone, and so we used up yesterday's bread. We used up yesterday's mercies, and we need fresh bread on today. You woke us up with brand new mercies. So, Lord, even as I stand at your vessel, touch me right now. Use me to your glory. I decrease that you would increase. Somebody needs to hear a word from you. Lord, even as you use my voice, you said my sheep know my voice. Somebody needs to hear a word from you. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake that I pray. Let every heart say amen. If you're physically able to stand as the musicians continue to play, I'm telling you, we're going to come back to that. Because for some of us, we say we've been saved all our lives. And that's all right. But we forget some stuff that God has saved us from. We forget that even on a good day, God said our goodness is as filthy rags. There's some mountains, there's some trials, but God has blessed us. My God, my God. 23rd Psalm is from whence I will be reading on today. Just one verse. It's a familiar passage, but I want to read verse 4. The New King James Version of the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, ooh, Jesus, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Whoo! Whoo! The NIV says like this, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For somebody, just in case you got the New Living Translation, it reads like this. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, watch this, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Talk in this place, Holy Ghost. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. There's some mountains that God has brought us over. And there's sure enough, whether you want to talk about them or not, some trials that he has seen us through. Despite how you feeling right now, you are blessed in the name of the Most High God. Ah, yeah. So do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I may be going through, but I'm going through with God. Come on, somebody, give God a heck of a praise. Oh, yeah. Tell me, turn to somebody else and say, neighbor, I may be going through, but I'm going through with God. Give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I may be going through. Oh, yeah. But I'm going through. With God. Woo. Oh, yeah. I know we dressed this thing up, but God is bringing us over, and he's bringing us through some stuff. And we got to be able to see the Most High God. That's your this. Folk don't need to know everything about what your this is, but God knows all about it. My brothers and my sisters, Psalm 23 is arguably the most famous and cherished scripture in the Bible. It is memorized by children, recited at weddings, read at sick beds, preached at funerals, and consulted in counseling. It is known around the world and has been appreciated throughout all the ages. But while any and everyone, whether saint or sinner, might read and or recite the 23rd Psalm, here's the truth of the matter. Psalm 23 is the exclusive testimony of those who have a personal relationship with the Most High God. Talking about the true and the living God. Talking about who you all were talking about in Sunday school, the one who was in the beginning, before the beginning began. The one who spoke everything into life. Amen. If you didn't close your Bibles, even though I only read verse 4, and certainly we're familiar with the 23rd Psalm, a quick observation of the first three verses of that Psalm declare that God is worthy of our faith and our trust in him. Why? Because he is good and God is faithful. Can somebody give God a hand clap of praise just on that? God is good and God is faithful. But when you get to verse 4, Brother Dante, the scene shifts. For you see, David is no longer in green pastures. He's no longer by the still waters. He is now in a dark valley. David admits almost reluctantly that there are times when he has to go through the valley. But I need to say something right through here. This is not an indictment, however, against the goodness or the faithfulness of the shepherd, the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, So as we look more in depth at this verse 4, it's important to note two central things that we're going to build on. The first thing is that even though David has to go through the darkest valley, David's confidence in God does not change. Teach in this place, Lord. Second thing I need you to know, and I believe it's up there, we also cannot conclude that David is confessing that he is in the valley because he strayed away. I'm going to fix that. Because if you look at verse 3 of your Bible, David clearly says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Therefore, that infers that there are times when the righteous ways of God requires that he leads his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. So let's talk about it a little bit more. First of all, this phrase, the shadow of death. This is a poetic way of describing deep darkness. It is to be in a valley that is so dark that it seems the shadow of death has hidden the sunshine. That's why the NIV and the New Living Translations and other translations like those, they translate it instead of the shadow of death, they say it's the darkest valley. And yes, while the phrase can apply to death itself, it is meant to speak of any dark situation that you might be in where you cannot see your way out. A sick bed can be the valley of the shadow of death. A grim diagnosis or prognosis regarding your health can be the valley of the shadow of death. A broken heart, divorce court, an unmet need, the unemployment line, bills, high debt, the threat of foreclosure, the possibility of bankruptcy, those can all be valleys of the shadow of death. The death of a loved one can be like a valley of the shadow of death. Moral failure, the loss of your reputation, or maybe for somebody, falling off the wagon of an addiction can be the valley of the shadow of death, etc. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Your trust in God will not keep you from going through the valleys of life. But your trust in God will keep you from living in fear of the dangers that threaten you in the valley. Can I say it again? Lord, help me to stand tall in this house. I said, your trust in God will not keep you from going through the valleys of life, but your trust in God will keep you from living in fear of the dangers that threaten you in the valley. While David in this instance does not have any control over his reality, for it is quite possible that the shepherd has led him into the valley. But while he may not have any control over his reality, hear me today, David was in control of his response to his reality. I'll say that again. I said, while, and this may be you, while you may not have any control over your realities, some stuff just happens in life. Some stuff just comes your way, sometimes out of nowhere. So while you may not have any control over your reality, David was in control of his response to his reality. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, David chose not to be afraid of the evil, the dangers, or those threatening things that were lurking in the valley. How come? Well, because David was not going through the valley by himself. Come on, somebody. Woo, Jesus. He acknowledged that the Lord was with him. I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what I'm speaking to into your life. What you may be going through, what sort of dark valley or situation you might be in right now, where you cannot see your way through. But I have been commissioned to tell you that if you are believing and trusting in the Lord God Almighty, then the same way that David was not going through his valley by himself, I'm on good ground when I say, neither are you. Amen. Why? Because God is with you. How do I know? Well, because the Bible tells me so. Matter of fact, there's a few particular passages of scriptures I want to point you towards. First one is in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Then there's another one in that same book of Isaiah, this time in chapter 43, verses 2 through 3. He says, "When you pass through the waters," he says, "I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you." Watch this. "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." He said, "For I am." Look for it there. He says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Why? Why is it important for us to know that? Why is it important for us to remember that? Because honesty would tell us that indeed there are a whole lot of folk in and outside the church who think that God has left them, especially when they are going through the valley. But those who live with confidence in God, watch this, often find that it's when you are in the valley that that's the time that God actually draws closer to you. He draws nigh when you're going through. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he says, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because he says, "For you are with me." Amen. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Let's talk about those. The rod and the staff, those were basic equipment carried by the shepherd to care for his sheep. His rod was like a club in one hand, and his staff was like a long stick in the other hand. In other words, watch this. Simplistic for me, Brother Griffith. In other words, the shepherd did not travel empty-handed. Come on, somebody. That's just simple for me. He didn't travel empty-handed. So in other words, David says, "I'm comforted." He says, "My heart, Sister Burton, is at ease." He says, "I know that everything is going to be all right." Why? He says, "Because my shepherd got his rod and his staff." Amen. Amen. So if you're like me, and you're like most people, and you're an inquisitive Bible reader, you're probably wondering, why does God even allow, or even at times direct us through valleys at all? Especially, Deacon Clark, since they are such dark places, and where we do are struggling. Huh? Well, simple answer is this. life is just filled with ups and downs. I mean, it is. And while, like most, you might prefer to stay on the mountaintop all the time. I mean, come on now, let's just be honest. We love to stay on the mountaintop all the time, Deacon McFarland. But let me ask you all, not just him, let me ask all of you, a question or a riddle. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? What do you have in a land where all you get is sunshine every day? Now, that sounds like a good day. Sunshine every day and no rain. What do you get? What do you get? Huh? I heard a drought. Well, yeah. Thirsty folk, I get it. Brother Bell, you get a desert. That's the answer to the question. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? You get a desert. So here's an interesting fact. Just like you all said, in order to have green, lush vegetation, guess what? You're going to have some rain. That's right. You're going to have, I'm with all due respect to the Carolinians, but some storms are going to have to come. Amen. Rain must fall in order for lush green valleys to come about. Amen. But that's not only true in nature, that's true in our lives as well. In the Bible, there are many valleys that are viewed as problems. Joshua talked about the valley of calamity. Teach, Holy Ghost. Psalm 84 talked about the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. But then there's here in the 23rd Psalm where David talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the valley is very different from the mountaintop. But it's the valley is where life becomes challenging. Valley is where battles are fought, where feelings are hurt, and attitudes are developed. The valley is the place of life where we struggle every day with fears, with our hopes and dreams, and with painful circumstances. But I need to say this to somebody, and I hate to bust your bubble. And that is, the valley for any of us is inevitable. If you are human, do me a favor, pinch yourself. And if it hurt, listen, you human. And if you did it hard enough, you said what? Ouch. Yeah, there you go. If you're human, there will be dark valleys in your life. And yes, we will find ourselves there for various reasons. It very well may be spiritual warfare. It very well may be some actions of, or some deeds on behalf of others outside of you. But also, honestly, it could very well be our own rebellious actions from within ourselves. Or has been taught, it just might even be due to the hand of God himself. Listen, it does not matter how good you've been, how careful you've been, valleys are impartial. Valleys are not selective. They come to the rich and to the poor. They come to men and women. There's nothing else. They come to men. And women, they come to black or white, educated or not, no one is exempt from valleys. but rest assured that while it's on the mountaintop where we come to meet God, the valley is where God comes to meet us. I say it again. While we climb mountains to get up into the presence of God, Jesus did with the disciples. We climb mountains where that's where we come to meet God. It's in the valleys where God comes to meet us. God will meet you in the valley. So let me ask you a question. What do you do when you go through dark valleys? There are three things that I want you to take away as I get ready to close. There are three things I want you to take away from this message. Number one, refuse to be discouraged. Refuse to be discouraged. Number two, rely on God's presence. And number three, rely on God's protection. I'm talking to somebody right now. I don't know your valley. I don't know your this. But what do you do when you're going through the dark valley? Refuse to be discouraged. I'm going to fix it. Rely on God's presence and rely on God's protection. Watch this as I just fix this thing right now. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Watch this. Notice that it says that I walk through the valley. Finley, it doesn't say I run. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. Woo, Jesus. It also doesn't say that I quiver. It also doesn't say that I shake in my boots. No, it says I walk. In other words, I've got sure footing. In other words, guess what that means? It just means that I'm going to have to take my time. Woo, Jesus. And I'm going to, guess what? And I'm going to have to take my time. I'm not supposed to panic. Listen. The picture we get from this verse is that the sheep aren't frightened just because they're going through the valley. In other words, God does not panic when we go through a problem. So guess what? Neither do his sheep. I'll say it again. I said, God does not panic when you go through your problems. But the picture here is, neither do his sheep. Next thing I want you to see is he says, David says, I will. He says, I will. In other words, that is a matter of choice. He says, I will, I choose. He says, I will fear no evil. I will, in other words, overcome this problem, this situation, this circumstance. He says, with God's help, I will get out of this hole or this mess that I done got myself in. One of the biggest adjustments that you and I might need to make when we are going through our problems, guess what? It's an attitude adjustment. It's a choice. It's an attitude adjustment. He says, I will. That becomes a matter of choice. Listen, I'm speaking to somebody. I need you right now to refuse to be discouraged. You can't go around the valley. You can't go under the valley. You can't go over the valley. You must go through. You can play something. You can go through the valley. But I will, choice, fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Sister Gail, I refuse to shake in my boots. I will walk through the valley. But one more thing. This is more than just you willing yourself. All right. It starts there. You need a strong will. But this is more than just you willing yourself through your problems, or maybe even trying to act like your problems don't exist. We got a lot of ostrich Christianity. What are you saying, Pastor Ken? We got a whole lot of folk who, when they're going through some problems, they want to stick their head in the sand. And hoping that when they pop their heads back up, that the problem has passed them by. No. This is deeper than that. This is a matter of us saying, listen, it's not about me trying to act like my problems are there. We got problems. We got real issues. Amen. But the reason why you can face whatever it is that you have to face, the reason why you can go through whatever you got to go through, no matter how dark your valley might be, is because you know that God is with you every step of the way. God has not, God will not, God does not leave you alone. God Almighty. I'm almost through, but let me finish this exposition of this verse. Because I want you to note here in verse 4, I hope you didn't close your Bible. Keeling, there's a great change in the language. Because up to this point, all the pronouns are in the third person. David says, he leads me. He guides me. He restores my soul. But now, here in verse 4, the language changes. It goes from the third person to the second person. Now he says, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Deacon Ferris, what's the point of me trying to do that and point out that in English? Well, because all of a sudden, the ultimate becomes intimate. All of a sudden, the ultimate becomes intimate. Well, what do you mean, Pastor King? Here's where I'm going with this. When you're going through dark valleys, you go more from just talking about God. You start talking to God. God Almighty, God Almighty. That's when the ultimate becomes intimate. Listen, listen, listen. When you're going through some stuff, I'm not going to just talk about how good God is. I need to talk to God about his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. I don't want to just talk about what God can do. Lord, I need to talk to you about what only you can do. At that point, my religion becomes relationship. God says, I'm with you. He says, I'll take you by the hand and I will lead you through, watch this. That's your this. He says, I will lead you through this. Listen, it's during dark valleys that you and I need to know that God has not left you. God really is still there. He really is still on the throne. He really does still care. But I'll be honest, I agree that it's in those dark valleys that we need to know, oh Jesus, that God is there. Because it's in those dark valleys when our faith becomes the most tested. I want to conclude with these thoughts about shadows. First of all, shadows are always bigger than reality. Shadows are always bigger than reality. Think about it. Fear is always greater than the problems you face. The other thing I want to talk to you about shadows is shadows ultimately can't hurt you. I mean, somewhat joking question, but have you ever been run over by a shadow? There's a difference between a truck and a shadow. Shadows can't hurt you. They can only scare you. But here's the last thing I want to talk to you about a shadow. Shadows only appear when there's a light source. Shadows only appear when there's a light source. You may be in a dark valley right now, but I need to speak this into your heart, your mind, and your spirit, that there is a light that is shining round about you, and it just might be at the end of the tunnel. For the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Trusting, believe in him, stand on his word, stand on his promises. Why? Stand to your feet. And I want us to recite together. Some of you already know it. Let's recite it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn to somebody and say, neighbor, I may be going through, but I'm going through with God. Give God a hand clap of praise in this house. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. You praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I may be going through, but I'm going through. This is not my home. This ain't my residence. I'm going through, because I'm going to make it through with God. What was the song, Stephanie, you were singing? For every mountain. Come on, my brother, give it to me. The doors of the church are open. Amen, 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 amen. Somebody, this is your test.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.